Okay, great. So thank you again for coming to the Rav Kook Room. So this week, as you can see from the title, we're going to deal with a Hanukkah-related theme. And it's going to connect, as most things in Rav Kook do, to the themes we've been discussing since the beginning of the year. The first two pieces are Rav Kook mentioning the word Hanukkah itself. So I thought we may as well start from there and then broaden our horizons a bit. So Rav Kook says as follows. This is from Inaya and the words My Hanukkah. That's Ha'ikaneis B'inyan Mechudash. The word chinuch refers to entering a new stage, starting something new. Chinuch l'na'ar, v'raylei amer chinuch habayis b'mikra. Chim b'stam chinuch v'lo chanukah. He's making a grammatical point, which I assume you could challenge if you wanted to challenge. But the word should not be chanukah, it should be chanuch, chinuch, something of that sort. So he's only going to be machalik between regular chinuch, which we find in other areas, but educating kids, dedicating a new house, or things of that sort, and what we have by Chanukah. Cook says there are two basic characteristics to regular chinuch, educating a child. Number one is that you're starting with the present. You're starting with the kid when he's at a young age, and trying to teach him so that he does well in the future. You're trying to develop him in a certain direction. The present is influencing the future. And also, we just don't know what the result of that chinuch is going to be. It's more of a suffix. Because you're trying to do something now to affect the future, we don't know what exactly the results are going to be, if he's going to listen to our chinuch or not listen to our chinuch. Amnam, kol hergo tov mo'il fo'el la vakshiro yotel adrakim tovim. We're doing something now in the present to affect the future, and not vice versa. But the Beis HaMikdash, things work in the opposite direction. It's not just that we're doing something now. We're building a Beis HaMikdash so that we should be able to bring Karbanos in the future, so that we should have a place to meet God in the future. The end result is already predetermined. Hashem wants a Beis HaMikdash. Beis HaMikdash was one of the first things Hashem created in Bria Solam, even before Bria Solam. What we're doing when we build a Beis HaMikdash is that we're doing the preparatory steps, we're laying the seeds for that eventual predetermined reality to come into existence. Al-Kain, Rega Rishon Yisodo, the first moment of the Beis HaMikdash establishment, Prahu Chanuv Hunchu Bo, Kol Tvarim HaGadolim Sh'asedhu Litmavei Mehem, Bizman Yoter Mukhar, El She'in Bekoach Bizman HaRishon Otzi HaDavar Al-Apoel, Al-Kain Yabol HaSmanim HaBaim Yimalu Es HaShir HaYab Tziyor Bekoach HaTklah HaRishonah. The end result is predetermined, which for some reason it can't be manifest at the first moment, but we already know where the direction is going. Imkain, Hatzkala Rishona, Enam Ashpia Ozman HaMaba'im. The first moment, the moment of Chinuch, isn't something that influences the later time. We know for sure what the end result is going to be. Shavaya Kvar HaKol Tzafoy Aruch Metukan, because we know that the Beis HaMikdash is going to exist. Ki Iyav Shar Shiyev Ofen Acher. The Beis HaMikdash represents Hashem's divine presence in this world. That has to happen. That future reality affects what we're doing in the present. Chanukah is more b'lashon nifal. It is being influenced from something else. Chinuch, lachanuch, is to educate for the future. Chanukah is a passive acceptance, a passive receiving of something, of the starting point from some other point. What's that other point? From the end result, from the actual reality that's going to come into existence. Kikomashi, he sort of repeats himself. Kikomashi yevedu acharon mikidui or Hashem kvodo idei or Hashem shebevayit nachon nisa asher inarui lav kolayim kvar aruch bezman hatzkala mishaito kak nekbabo kdushal yonah Hashem yirah shir yomar hayom bar Hashem yirah. Great. We are able to start right now because of that end result. And therefore, that's the difference number one from regular chinuch, that it's working in the opposite direction. And difference number two is that we have no sekos. If we educate a child, we're not sure where he's going to end up. We know where he's going to end up. We have hopes, but nothing is certain. Over here, we know for certain that the Beis Hamikdash is going to be built, and that grand vision is going to come to fruition. Shina Tzkola Ba'alat Mitziyot. Lo Yitachin Lomar Alea Ki Im Mashem Hashpat Al Ha'atid Akin Yomar Chinoch Lashon Tzachar Mashpia. Amnam B'Mikdash Asher Liulam Zot Al Yisrael Makom Orosh Al Olam Batzkola Yish Kvar Hakol El Asher Zmanim Ba'im Yashlimua V'Yifatzkua Tikarei Chanukah Mashem Mekabalet U'Mushpat. Again, it's passive acceptance rather than actively influencing. Great. So that's what Rav Kook says is the meaning of the word Chanukah, is the ability to visualize some type of end game, visualize some type of ultimate reality, and start now toward that ultimate reality, knowing that all the while that ultimate reality, at least in the broad sense, is predetermined to something that's definitely going to exist. And Rav Kook applies this to other areas of Chanukah as well. The next piece is something which is going to be more familiar to us, but it's a theme which we've been discussing. But it makes reference to the same point. HaChanukah mushpat mi'atein ha'yotzer na'ala ka'asher mivu'a b'horat Chanukah b'akbala l'horat kinoch. So Chanukah is influenced from the future, as seen in the word Chanukah as opposed to the regular word kinoch. He's referring to this piece in Enaya. So what does that mean about the nature of Chanukah? He mitzayaret et kol marot apratiyim shetzugim la'ir b'uma, or a Torah, or a nevua, or a chachma, or a tzedek, or a gvura, or a simcha, or a chesed, or a ahava. So what does it mean that it takes the future lights and applies them to the present? So what it does is that it takes all these individual kokos. How many are there? Are there eight? That would be very interesting. Torah, nevua. Sorry. Whatever it is.
There's eight.
There are eight. So perfect. And chiyosi bezeh, taking all the individual kokos, all the individual lights. Shirak terem hukara hatachlit ha'yonah shachayim nirim lanu ha'orot harabim pratiyim kilohim dvarim nifradim. As before that ultimate reality is realized, we see each of these lights as a separate light, as a separate korach. V'sivkim nefamim yod omdim b'fei rudam kidei shalot tenchat zirat korachan mihem adei eruf hashiyot. This is what we discussed. Each one has to have its own room to be developed fully. There is no distinction between chachma, tzedek, gvura, and simcha, so we wouldn't be able to fully develop the concept up until its fullest thought. Sometimes if somebody focuses on one more than the other, and therefore you get into fights. Some people think Torah is the ultimate. Some people think Tzedek is the ultimate. Somebody focuses his entire life on Torah. Somebody focuses his entire life on Tzedek. They get into clashes about what the true primary value of Judaism is. Because each individual person follows his own netiya, develops Torah, develops Tzedek, develops Gevura to the extreme, then at the end of the day, you have all these individual concepts fully developed. So what happens in the end? Aval pirudim gamkin lo yu kaimim la'ad. Shrei kol zman sheish pirudei dayot ina k'dusha mitmaseset v'olam. Yikar brapa yibarkat ha-shalom. Pitetz kayim v'atid b'vayat ha-kara b'rua l'chol v'chol kikol ha-maros apartiyim ha-kohu ner achad. So what's the ultimate reality? The ultimate reality is to take these individual kokos and integrate them, combine them into the word into shalom and lashon shleimus, as we discussed by Tamidi Chachamim Marbim Shalom Ba'olam. Alkein lo niros shel Chanukah ne'amar bevracha shinoseis deya ad amerchaka yoter neskav ad ha'atere yoter al yod v'neratzka os Hashem ki im ner shel Chanukah. Meaning the reason why we refer to where the text of the bracha is l'hadzik ner shel Chanukah, and then Rosh Shul Chanukah, is because Chanukah is mushpas from the future. In the future reality, it's only going to be one concept. There's godliness, and that's it. Nowadays, we light eight candles. assuming everybody is Mahadran, Mahadran, or whatever it is, we light different candles to represent that in this time period, in this world, there are different kolchos. But because Hanukkah, the basis for Hanukkah, one of the themes of Hanukkah, is having that ultimate reality in mind and having it affect the way you live life and the way you think even now, the text of the Bracha refers only to a single candle. Lahadik Ner Shel Hanukkah, Anan Ner Rosh Shel Hanukkah. Hanukkah is mushpah from the future. Meaning, regular chinuch is the present affecting the future. Hanukkah is the future affecting the present.
The past affecting the present.
Oh, I'm sorry. It's some type of ultimate reality in the future. The ultimate state of the Beis Hamikdash, or the ultimate state of the divine idea, affecting the way we view things, the way we live life in the present. And so this is a theme Rav Kook has by Hanukkah, but it's also a theme that he develops elsewhere. For Rav Kook, having some type of hasaga about what the ultimate reality is going to be like, what Yomos HaMashiach, Tekiyas HaMesim, the Zman HaGula is going to be, and having some type of concrete vision, or just thinking around and imagining what it's going to be like, is very important for the way we're supposed to live life in the present. The Jewish life in the present, as we discussed before, is not just about Torah, Tefillah, and Mitzvos, but you're trying to get to some ultimate goal. And the more of a concrete vision you have of that ultimate goal, of the Nevuos, of the Ma'amar Chazal, of Rishonim and the Achronim, about what that ultimate reality is going to be, the better appreciation you have of what you're doing now, and the more it's going to be able to guide you towards that ultimate goal. I will just go through a couple of passages in other places in Rav Kook where he discusses in different ways either just the existence of this idea of viewing the reality and different manifestations or different ramifications that it has. So the first piece is it's a typo. It's not from source number 3 is not from Orot Yisrael. It's from somewhere in Orot HaKodesh. I'll send out the actual source. This is Rav Kook seemingly referring to himself. It says, we see existence in a spiritual state. How the inner spiritual lives work, how they function. How they're created. So what does he say? How the neshama that's there in living creatures is hidden. We see the future generations already existent in the current generations. How the future neshamos are going to look. The future in general sense, with all of its amazing colors. It's a living, breathing reality in front of our eyes. This is not some type of magic trick. This is the true reality that's going to happen. The difference between past, present, and future is only relative. Everything is connected, everything is leading towards that ultimate reality. The more you view things as a single unit, not just different ideas, physical reality, as we discussed in the past, but also all of history, all of time, as comprising of one single unit, leading towards that ultimate reality, if we do that, then This is more descriptive than actually telling you what the positive ramifications of this are. And it's clearly something Rav Kook had in mind, something he experienced, viewing the Zman of the Geula, the ultimate reality, whatever level you could view it as some type of real thing, sitting there and imagining what it's like, and how that affects or affected the way he thought and the way he acted in the present. The next two pieces sort of give you more details as to what exactly keeping this vision in mind does. And the first one is from Orot Yisrael Tzkiyoto. It's about the nature of Am Yisrael, basically. Second one is on Eretz HaKodesh. It's a bit more Kabbalistic. But just the first piece first. So Rav Kook starts off as follows. There's konin tika shemarachay alev yakavim ha'yonim ha'arukim v'marachay idyaliyam ha'elyonim. Any separation in somebody's heart from these broader waves of ideals and values, meaning the broader sense of goodness, truth, value, justice, avat Hashem, yiras Hashem, whatever the idealim ha'elyonim happen to be. So any separation you have between yourself and these broader values, these broader ideals, creates a lacking, a diminishing of happiness and goodness. That sentence Rav Kook is saying is that any connection you have to these broader ideals and values, anytime you think about them, even if it's b'tzura keyao zira, even if it's in some dim and unsophisticated way, still helps guide you towards them, helps guide you along the proper derech. The more you have some type of utopian vision in mind, the more of a chance you have of actually getting there one day. Great. So what does it mean to have this type of utopian vision in mind? So he says, or the light of Mashiach, which is, in one sense, the Osher HaOyon in general society, in life of general society, meaning utopian society as a whole, and also individual satisfaction and happiness. These types of goals that we're thinking of, individual satisfaction, individual spirituality, utopian societies, are directly connected with the idea of Tchiyat HaMeisim, with what's going to happen in Mos HaMashiach. The Godel Ha'atid HaZeh Buchrafat Kohayin HaZokot HaTzviya Idealiot. To connect yourself to these ideas, to these broader values, you're obligated to be what he's using the terminology of being mitzapel the Yeshua. Each person or each society is obligated to look towards the Godel HaAtid, towards the great reality that's going to occur in the future, and that is that allows us right now to be guided towards that ultimate reality. And therefore, anytime you separate yourself from that vision, you don't have that vision in mind when you're acting or when you're acting or when you're thinking, so that is a nefila l'am keshakat. That's causing you to fall. And demons, goats come up and play around. In the place of angelic music, we have demons dancing. I mean, you're doing the same actions. It could be you're living basically the same life, but without that vision in front of you that you're trying to get towards, you could turn in a slightly incorrect direction, and then fall off the deep end.
This is not because you replaced it with some other vision. This is just lacking the vision on this.
That's what it seems like.
This is very harsh.
Yeah, it's Kedarko. He's harsh at times.
This is psychological or practical. You keep on saying it changes how you do things. But you never in the line where you with kim kavat, which I assume means kavat, chotam abayab gorav no yotav. Doesn't mean it changes your malach ha'chayim, and I would mean it is koveya the tsura of your existence throughout the goral, the path of its different lights. It's nothing you affect, as far as I see.
I mean, you're saying that
I don't know. I mean, it could be Rav Kook has five lines after this, which says explicitly that this changes the way you eat coffee in the morning and drink tea and drink your toast. But I'm saying it's
In the, it's a very long piece. In the continuation of the piece, he ends up saying this is the distinction between Jewish utopian vision and non-Jewish utopian vision. The non-Jews, he says, could have these utopian visions, but they don't necessarily have the ability or the wherewithal to see them through. It just remains as a vision, and they can't actually get there. What he's going to say in the continuation of this piece is that the nature of the Emunah of Am Yisrael is such that it's enough grounded in reality, you're able to have that vision and have the wherewithal to actually get there. So I assume the point is that there's going to be something different about the way you act if you have an ultimate reality in mind than if you don't. You're going to be doing things differently, you're going to be doing more things.
But more things, both just as a result of your psychological state. Meaning, if you start hearing demons play their demonic music, so that you may be less able to perform mitzvos with zeal, with care, with all those things. But planning, I mean, he's not, let's say, Lavtrev made arguments that you had to make real plans for the B.S. Mashiach. You have to take physical steps in this world. And if you don't do that, so then that's starting to be a leadership. So I don't know whether from Rav Kook you get that at all. Rav Kook is just saying that it changes the nature of your religious experience.
Okay. And I think there could be other passages where he does say it's a good idea to have a suitcase ready. But I don't think that's what he's saying here. He's just saying that you're gonna live life differently, fill in the blanks, if you have that ultimate reality in mind, and if you don't.
And the difference between Yisrael and Goyim that you're suggesting is not necessarily it's because of Halacha, or it's because of we have Halacha?
It's because of the different, in general, he thinks that Jews are to have the ability to be mechaber ideals and practicality more than non-Jews. Right. Meaning, I think it's an idea that Hasidim and Achronim have in general. Goyim can only bring a Karban Olah, he can't bring a Karban Shlomo. Because for them, the difference between the spiritual world and the physical world is complete. Suppose the Jews are able to bring in Karban Shlomim, where you're sort of miyachay the Elyonim and the Tachtonim. For Rav Kook, one of the problems of the Christian Church was that it completely cut off all practical dinim, meaning it just kept the ideals, loving kind and peace, a relationship with God, and things of that sort, and it just kept it in an idyllic state. And if you only do that, so you're only focusing on the ideals and broader values, you're not focusing at all on anything practical, over the course of a millennium, you're going to end up with the Crusades if they go around killing people. Meaning, bias Rishon esque with a complete, with a different twist.
You just don't have the. Meaning, the assumption, what you're saying, Chibur between Dvarim Niskavim and Dvarim Akim, so that's not.
I'm saying that was just continuation of the piece. That's why
it couldn't be a chesaron motzei avtacha, just because they have no reason to think it's true, so it's sort of a pipe dream.
It could be. I'm saying Rav Kook connects it to this general idea.
And
he doesn't say those words. That kind of thing. I think so. If I recall correctly, that's a continuation of the piece. Okay. It could be I'm wrong. So in this piece, Rav Kook is saying, which is bringing us back to where we are, that keeping some type of vision of the future reality in mind is sort of guides you along your path through this world right now, and helps you get there. You have a different type of religious existence. In the next piece, it's that things are less practical and more metaphysical. That's what it seems like, at least. In the piece in Aretz HaKodesh, he says, "Hatanuga neflash otzkiyas amesim ba'orakayim shal eden elyon just hal aros talacha humeshashia tatadikim umsamkam simcha al yonatamid." The ultimate joy, or delight of tzkiyas amesim, the orakayim tal aros talacha, the pasuk in Yeshaya by which Chazal say Hashem is going to be in chayim amesim, is meshashia tatadikim, causes them delight and creates a big simcha. At shekol hafzakah shivin ha'hovel ha'atira gadol hazeh ha'pasukot shebineihem. In an akshavat etzlam ne'muma, to the degree that everything in between now and an ultimate reality of Hashem HaKadosh Shmo Achad, Tchiyas HaMeisim, is considered negligible. V'tehilim hei mamash kinitzot katan lefnei galal chama, and everything in between is considered as if it's worthless. And next piece, next sentence, he says, there's even an Or Yoter Gadol, you're able to connect directly to Hashem, whatever that means. Skip down to the next paragraph. So I don't know what each word in that sentence means, but it seems like this very tzifia tzipiyah Yeshua itself has an effect that it creates that reality, meaning, or at least brings you closer to that reality. And you see, tzipiyah Yeshua, not just in a practical sense, and now I know what to do, and therefore I'm going to be able to get there. But the very fact that I'm in mitzvah with Yeshua helps the world along the process, brings us one step closer to that ultimate reality. So just to summarize, you said there, Rav Kook, that the meaning of the word Chanukah, and one of the themes that exist in Chanukah, is the ability, not just for the present to affect the future, but for a certain ideal or idyllic future reality to affect the present, with the Chinuch of the Beis HaMikdash, with the Shmona Neros becoming one, or the one Neror being refracted into Shmona in our current reality. We saw that for Rav Kook, this is something that he did on a regular basis. He saw the future to a degree. I guess he imagined the future. And two reasons why you should do this, why he recommends it for people. With number one, it helps you keep along the proper path of trying to be mishacking things. It affects the nature of your religious experience, either in attitude and actions or in other things. And number two, that the very fact of being mishacking the Yeshua, you have that vision in mind, metaphysically brings the world one step closer towards that ultimate reality. Shkosh.